At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello, hello there.
Hello, Devin. And hello. We are joined by one of our oldest friends from Maker Camp, Noah Spence from Smiling Wolf Workshop. Noah, welcome, man.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too, man. I know we're going to see you in just a couple weeks, but you know, I figure
I know.
Get you on beforehand. Let's get everybody excited about Maker
wait.
Camp. We couldn't All right, Devin, what do you got for us today?
I'm going to ask Noah to try to finish this quote. All right, you ready?
Okay. All right.
You will never find a more wretched hive of blank and blank.
Scum and villainy.
Nice. I wouldn't have been able to get that.
Can you guess what that's from, Dust?
I'm assuming it's from Star Wars.
Yeah. Any idea? Any idea what part? You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Is it when they're like riding into the little town where what's his name on the speeder where Obi-Wan does the, like, these are not the droids you're looking for, or is it,
yeah.
Or is it, oh, okay. No,
yeah, nice. Or I think it's right after that, right?
No, yeah,
then like, they're, like, walking in, they're about to go into the cantina.
Nice.
Yeah, they're, like, looking down from that cliff onto the town.
Oh, that's right.
That's when he says that, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Well, now, I wanted to bring that up, because Noah's a big Star Wars fan, and I was just looking through, like, famous Star Wars quotes, and that's, like, such a good, like, early, like, adventure is about to happen, early Star Wars quote. I always loved it. But
right.
Mos Eisley and Tatooine really aren't that, like, crazy. Or at least in that, and in what we see in the first Star Wars, yeah, that someone, like, dies and there's, like, a Wild West scene, you know.
Yeah.
But the most death happens from our heroes. From Han Solo kills a guy, and then...
Right.
And then,
Uncle Owen.
Obi-Wan or someone, and then someone chops off, is it Obi-Wan who chops off an arm?
Yeah, in the cantina. Yeah.
Right, so they're saying how dangerous it is, but all our heroes are the ones doing the damage.
Yeah, that's true, man. I've never thought about that.
Right? All they're asking is for them to, like, not bring their, like, robot vacuum cleaner buddy in. Like, look, he stays out, but other than that, you guys are cool. And then they chop someone's arm off and shoot somebody. It's like, what the hell, dude?
Right? Like, man, chill, guys.
Scum and villainy. You guys are you.
You. And you would think, after all the years of Obi-Wan traveling around and all the stuff he's done in his life, like, that's really the, you'll never find anything
right,
more than that.
Yeah, right, no doubt. Yeah,
maybe. So you saw the Clone Wars and the worst stuff in the world, and
right,
and you saw all your Jedi friends get murdered, and it's like, no, this is the worst, this little spaceport. I'm like, okay, dude.
Yeah, but you couldn't start off the story with, like, this is a pretty rough town. It's right. Not that bad, but, you know, we'll go check it out anyway. Do some damage.
Right. Like, yeah, so I guess you can't really say, like, oh, this is a really nice place, and then they go in and chop arms off. And,
yeah, right.
You have to give excuses. These people are terrible. Let's kill them.
That's great. Yeah, we... I think we know, and a lot of people know that you're a fan. Like, a lot of the stuff you do on your Instagram, you'll do, like, Star Wars stuff, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Love the lore. Love the story. So that's great.
I love the nerdy edge of making. Like, I watch as much, I watch probably more nerdy making stuff on YouTube than I do, you know, knives and axes and bow stuff. I mean, half of the reason is because we make it on our own, so I don't, like, need more. I see Dustin make enough of it in front of me. I, like, want to switch it up by the time I get home, but, no, I think, yeah, majority of my time is looking at nerdy stuff on YouTube. Are you the same now?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I watch a lot of stuff on YouTube, but yeah, I got, it's actually one of my recommendations is a guy that does like dioramas and stuff, and it makes some really neat stuff, but like, he's one of my favorite channels to watch, and like prop making stuff, things like that.
Yeah,
the same way
for sure.
Yeah, there's something just like super magical about like diving into the ethos and the mindset and the like universe of a different world. You know, I love post-apocalyptic things. I love fantasy. I love reading those books. You know, it's just something different.
Right.
You know, like so many people I think are all about books and movies and things that really make them think and really, like, I don't know, like is very much more like profound about our own, you know, situation, but I'd rather, like, you know, I get our life every day, you know, like I want to be able to like read or watch a movie or something that just takes me away and just entertaining and fun. And you can use your imagination. Maybe that's like the creative side. I don't know. Yeah. Or that's
I'm same way, man. It's like, you know, not that I hate nonfiction, but I'm like, I would much rather read like fantasy or, I know we talked before, I think about that series of books, the Change series, the Emberverse. That's like one of my favorite series of books.
Absolutely.
That's actually kind of what got me into like trying to learn about leatherworking and blacksmithing was the characters from that. Those books.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have to get back into the, read, I think I turned you guys on to the first book and then I read like two and then you guys went and just read the whole thing.
Yeah, I know Derek. Yeah. Derek's read a couple. You know, I think, I don't know if he's read as many as I've read, but like our older brother Derek. But that we've read them. And actually, when Kryn was younger, I read the first book to her, and then she just started on her own just like a month ago. Started reading the series again. So she just finished the first book.
Yeah.
And now she's on to the second book. So she's super excited about it. And she knows, she knows the stories because of how much I love the stories. So I talk about them and I kind of like, I've read her parts over the years, but now she's doing it on her own. So now she's like, oh, I just got to this part. It's like super exciting for me. I'm like, yes, it's great. I love that part. Yeah. Yeah.
No doubt. Kind of like jealous that she gets to like experience for the first time.
I know. Right. Exactly. But yeah. And actually our buddy Sean from Crafting a Life I Want, he started reading them as well. And,
Awesome.
And he's now like got the mindset. It's like the prepper post-apocalyptic, like, okay, I know how to blacksmith. I can do leather work. I got bow making, starting to like compile the list of skills to survive, you know? That's great.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. Dev, you got to read them again. It's such a fun series. I did read it because I
forgot most of it, so
yeah.
I might as well just go ahead and do it again.
I was reading an article one time on like someone's writing about kind of a whole bunch of post-apocalyptic series. You know, it was like their opinion. If you want this type of series, read this. If you want this, you read this. And they were like, if you want a really easy reading, but like, what was it? They kind of did a negative spin, basically saying that Dies of the Fire was the series where like it was very convenient for like, you know, this group of people. They like found a sword person, and they found a bow making person, and they found a leather working person, and a horse person. You know, it was like they conveniently fell into like these groups where like all the skills you need were there. Someone knew it. You know,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, but you know, like kind of one of the things they say in the Dies of the Fire series is like, if you've survived more than a year, you're really lucky, you know.
Right.
So
it's like winning the lottery.
Exactly, right. And so, like, of course you'd be lucky. Of course you'd find the person who knows how to, you know, like, tame horses, and you'd find the person who knows how to make bows, and, you know, it's like...
Right. Yeah. All... Well, I mean, even in the books, they specifically look for those people. They're like the bear killers, when Mike Havel's, like, interviewing everybody. He's like, I want you, and I want you, because you can do this, but you can't do anything, so you don't get to join.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they're being pretty ruthless. But, yeah, they are, like, going town to town, like... You know, recruiting, but they're like looking for those skills. Yeah.
Oddly enough, well, I guess not oddly, but it makes more sense that you'd find those people nowadays than when those books were written back in what, like early 2000s? Because you didn't have as much like maker, YouTube stuff, and like everyone's learning something. So back then, there wasn't as many people doing the maker stuff. So now it actually is probably probable that you'd find, you would just have to find maker YouTubers and be like, join us. I've seen what you've made online.
See, there you go. That's our post-apocalyptic destination is East Durham, New York. Everyone go to maker camp. That'd be sweet. We got like
we'd be good to go.
We got all the Camp Arrowhead guys, you know, doing flint napping, and you got like Patty doing sewing, and we got woodworkers and chainsaws,
and then for a muscle, we just hire all the motorcycle people that come
Yeah,
just have 10,000 of those Harley dudes. Man, we're set.
Well, just as a brief introduction to Noah. So Noah has an Instagram channel, Smiling Wolf Workshop, where he, you know, kind of follow along with things he's doing, whether it's like making things or learning new skills or like building a, you know, your workshop, which you've been doing. And fun fact, Noah, you were the first person who recognized me as the Art of Craftsmanship, Dustin, and not just a guy at Maker Camp when we went to Maker Camp the first year.
First day.
We're kind of walking around, and I hear, "Hey, the Art of Craftsmanship!" And I turn around, and there you were. And you're like, "Hey, man!" And I was like, "Hey, what's going on?" And we introduce each other, and that was like, I was like, "Oh, that's cool." It was like the first person that recognized me for the content that I create, which was pretty sweet. Okay. So
that's awesome.
It was awesome. And then you've been, I will say, you're like almost like a Blackthorn Resort aficionado now, man. You've been there. Gone to all sorts of stuff at the Blackthorn.
Yeah, I try to go to as many as I can. It's always a good time, so it's always fun.
Absolutely. So, man. So, welcome to the podcast. We're super excited to chat with you and get all amped up about Maker Camp coming up. We thought it'd be fun to have some, you know, some. We always love having guests, but like have guests leading up to Maker Camp who know and love Maker Camp. Get everybody excited because I'm getting pumped.
Yeah. What, two weeks away?
Oh, man. Chill. So soon. It's great.
Yeah, right? Man.
So one of the questions I had, I want you to kind of give us an overview of how you kind of got into making. I know you mentioned like, you know, some of the books were the things that kind of inspired you, but like, give us the kind of the quick version of how you like started it. Like, were you always makery? Was it like not until you were older, or like kind of give us that, like kind of an overview of your maker journey from where you started when you were a kid to now, and how that looked like for you as a maker.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I was always into art. Like, I always loved to draw. My dad, he was he did a lot. He painted, he carved decoys, built furniture. I mean, he was like a jack of all trades. Like, he did everything. Man, he used to hunt and trap, and he had his commercial fishing license, and he went out net fishing, and we always went out hook and line, and he did so much. So like, I guess a lot of that rubbed off on me, like wanting to do different things. And so yeah, and then, you know, just from my dad, like, he always had tools and stuff, so like I could always use his tools. And I remember one time he'd give me like a tomahawk, and he's like, "Here, go build something to throw it at." And we just had a bunch of scrap 2x4s, and I just hammered a bunch of stuff together and was throwing that tomahawk at a target.
Nice. Dude, what an awesome like 80s kid thing, you know? Like,
I was like,
"Here's a tomahawk, go build yourself." Mid 90s, that's awesome.
Right.
That's a great kid prompt. Like, I want to write, like, a basket full of prompts for my children and just have them ready.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Be like, all right, we're outside. Okay. Pull up. All right, build something to throw a tomahawk at. Like, here's a drill and a handful of screws. Like, have that.
Yeah. Right. Yep. That was it. But yeah, did that. And then I said it was, I don't know. As I got older, you know, like when I graduated high school, I didn't do as much because I guess I was partying and stuff. So kind of got out of it. And then I read those books and found stuff online and started getting back into everything. And yeah, I guess bought some tools when I actually had money to spend on, you know, stuff that I didn't really need but wanted. And that was it, I guess.
Nice, right on. So what's so I know you have a daughter right now. Do you have more than a daughter or just the one?
I do. I got three kids.
Oh, okay.
So I got my oldest daughter, she's 22, and then my son's in the middle, he's 15. He's getting to be 16. And then my youngest daughter is 12. So
nice. Awesome.
Oh, so you had her name. Like... I got her name from the Astrid is her name, and that's from the books.
Nice.
Yeah, from the change. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the best characters, man. Oh, she's awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. I love the way that S.M. Sterling, the author of the series, how he writes characters that you know are inspired by him. You know, like, I feel like, you know, the Protector, Norman Arminger, that's his dark side. You know, that's like what he would be if he were, you know, if the change really happened and he, and his needle leaned toward the dark side, you know, that's who he would be. Cause he's that like history professor. And then, you know, that he like loved Lord of the Rings, like we all do, you know, and that's like his like Astrid side is like the geeky teenage girl who like loves Lord of the Rings and like has a bow and da da da, you know, like I love the fact that you can really see his like love of these different things, the things that made him who he is what he like wrote this series about, like, which is just super fun.
I agree. You can tell he definitely put a lot of thought into it, did a lot of research, and
is
really into that stuff, I think, in real life. And
That should be our next book club book.
Oh, yeah. The first to get everybody hooked on it again.
I want to read it anyway, so.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
So that's that, like, you got, like, a time gap from, like, high school to, what, like, 10 years ago? When was that time when you started... You started remaking
probably, more than 10.
It's probably so, man. I'm trying to think. You know, being a big Star Wars fan and Boba Fett, he's my favorite character. Found I like the 501st and which is like the official like costuming group sponsored by Star Wars, essentially like by Lucasfilm. Like, so found that, and you find guys that are like, oh, here's some patterns to build this helmet. And there was a guy. There's a website called the Replica Prop Forum. And a guy did this big, long, like, tutorial. Actually, I think it was a Boba Fett site called the Dented Helmet. But anyway, a tutorial about how to build your own helmet. And he used, like, cardstock, like mat board. And you know, it was all built out of cardboard. So I followed that tutorial. I made his helmet. And actually, it turned out okay. Like, some stuff I would change. Like, I took an old skateboard helmet and I, like, cut a strip out of the middle because it was a little bit too big, and then I glued it back together, and that was like the dome part of the helmet. And and then I used his cardboard patterns to make like the rest of it, and painted it and all that stuff. And so that's through awesome. That it's funny, I found, so as I talk about it, like, I think more and more like how I did get into this stuff, I found I don't know if you ever heard of Punished Props. His name's Bill Duran. He's got a really cool YouTube channel. But he had a bunch of cool videos, and he did a video where he made a I think a leather sheath for his multi-tool. And I was like, man, I was like, I think I could probably figure that out. So bought some leather and then made it. You know, I had a it's called a buck tool. It's basically like buck knives version of a Leatherman. And, I made a case for that, and I think I did that probably 10, 12 years ago.
Nice.
It just did break on me. One of the I can't even remember what happened to it, but I still got it floating around with something. Like I made a like a belt loop, and the belt loop busted or something stupid like that. But
oh yeah, yeah, and, right. Nice.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
But it's all like a big. It was like the punch props guy, and then he I think started talking about I like to make stuff. Bob,
oh, right on.
Yep. And so mm-hmm. then I found Bob's channel, and then I think maybe from Bob I found Jimmy's channel, and then it was just you know everything like snowball effect after that. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
we're doing our the first I think for us, which we were shooting at night, and we rushed back, or I rushed back so we could do this pod. But our first prop replica, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't done one, right, Dust, before. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
I don't think so. No, no. I mean, we. Yeah.
And it's a prop that gets seen predominantly, but then you don't see it get used. It's have you seen the new Mad Max Furiosa?
Yes, yeah.
Right, really good. I really liked it.
It was, yeah.
And we're doing this apocalypse challenge with the other guys.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So I watched that scene, and it's when there's that gang initiation, right, with the five bikes, they rip apart that guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, like, pumping everybody up, like, you'll be a part of me, and blah, blah, blah. And if you want to join us, and the guy hands him a bunch of tools, and three of them, like, there's a hammer and a wrench, but then there's these three, like, great apocalypse. There's the saw blade, like, mace.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. There's a baseball bat with big, like, huge nails in it, and then there's a, what's the other...
The mace, the club, the
and then there's a mace with like two dice hanging, and he throws them down at the feet of the one people, and like, all right, fight. And the funny thing is, you don't see the cool tools get used. What you see is like the hammer and the wrench get used on the other side of the fight. So I don't know if they just were like, we don't want to use these props or whatever. But there are three cool props that he holds, and he throws down in front of the people. So that's what Dustin's making, and that's what we're shooting.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah.
It's fun too because like you know for. Years and years I've loved watching Tested and you know like Adam Savage just like so much of what he makes over the years is prop stuff you know so it's like and my background in art I like all the stuff he does when he's like aging things with acrylic paint and like you know it's like that's all part of like the art creativity side that I love about making and so it's fun to have something where I can make something that's just really about how it looks now like each of these things that we're making are very much going to be like a real hardcore thing that you could use but they all have to look good too like they have to you know I'm used to making something and when it's done it's like it's fresh right so it doesn't have the age of being used for years and years but now we're making these props that need to look like they've been used so like you got to make them fresh, but then you got to age them. And whether that's like, you know, dyes or stains or splatters or, you know, like we did some force patina on some of the blades and stuff. And so it's kind of fun to just like, just push like the limits and what things look like just to have a cool looking thing, you know, like that's got some age and some dirt. And like Devin mentioned, you know, it's like these are tools that were on the back of a motorcycle that just drove across like the outback with dust and stuff flying all over them, dirt and there's probably blood on them, you know? So it's like all this like layers of like a story that could be there, which is, it's fun, man. It's like, I love that. Awesome. Like you talk about making the Boba Fett helmet, you know, I can imagine all the, you know, the rust and the stuff that's on there, the like age that you have to kind of build into the, like the story of it.
It's like all different layers of paint like his helmet was repainted a bunch of times so you got like yellow showing through and then there's green on top of that and the silver of the metal coming through that'd be cool man I can't wait to see how that turns out
have you done any I know there's a lot of great like people are 3D printing a lot of that stuff now have you done any 3D printing stuff
so I just did I bought a resin printer because I play like the tabletop.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we talked about that for like minis and stuff.
Right. Yeah, so I've printed some stuff on that. And that's actually pretty cool, man. It's wild. How easy it is to you know if you have a file already, it's like plug it in and hit go, and then you have a cool model in like 3 hours.
It's crazy.
But it's wild. I just did buy an FDM printer though, and it's I think it's big enough I could. print a helmet like all in one piece.
That's awesome. Nice.
Just big enough, I think it would work. So,
right.
But then I was doing research, and everybody says you shouldn't do it that way. You should print it in multiple pieces and then put it together. So,
right. But, yeah.
Yeah. So I do want to try that. One of my second favorite Star Wars characters is Captain Rex from the Clone Wars cartoon series. And I found a guy that had some really good like files for his armor that are like the animated version. So that'll be probably first thing I make on there is a Captain Rex helmet. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I was watching. I right now I can't think of the name, but she has like a smaller ish channel, but she's been making full size droids, but 3D printing them.
Oh yeah,
it,
yeah.
But there's so much work. Like it, like Man. Sounds like oh, just print it out. But obviously, it's like 100 parts, and she sands every part and does like layers and layers of paint. It's like still super hard to 3D print something that looks great. It's super easy to make something that's like fun and just if you're gonna mess around with. And I've like cool like koozies and stuff for beer, and like those things are easy and they all come out and they work right away. But to really go above and beyond it's a lot of work.
Yeah, there's a lot of prep. You know, sanding, and a lot of the guys will still do Bondo to get rid of the layer lines. You want it to look legit, and not just print and go. Yeah,
right. That's one of those things where, like, I think you know, 3D printers are still rapid prototyping machines. You know, they're still. I mean, they can be. You know, you can use them and print out something that is really awesome and can be used. But like you said, there's a lot of work. It's not just like a plug and play. You know, it's not film ready. You know, but there's like it's getting there. It's getting better. But you know, But for rapid prototyping, man, there's nothing like it. You know, if you need a little part, you need something, or you just want like you need something quick, or you want to. You know, you're coming up with a design, you want to print it out so you can look at it in 3D. Man, like, that's so crazy. It's so awesome.
It is, man. It is cool. I actually printed a stamp for leather. I found this cool, like, Celtic symbol, and I took it into Fusion. And I'd never even heard of use Fusion, but I went on YouTube real quick, and they were like, oh, just do this and extrude it. And I did that, and then I put it into my printer, and I printed it out, and I pressed it into the leather, and it actually came out pretty good. And I was like, damn. That was really easy to do, man. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. And we have, I just got, at our school, I teach architecture at Baltimore Design School in Baltimore City. And in the architecture lab, we have two 3D printers. We have a MakerBot 3D printer, which we've had for a couple of years. And then we just got the Bamboo Labs X2, which I actually haven't unloaded and set up yet, but it's like the multiple colors, which... That too, I'm excited about. You know, like it's got four colors. Yeah, it's super cool, and it's crazy because it's like cheaper than what the MakerBot was years ago, and faster. You know, so it's like they're coming down in price, and they're fast. It's like super cool, and the fact that, you know, to now be able to have my students design something or make a little building, and they want to print out just like a small version of it, so they can look at it in 3D, and we're like, go sure, give me a file, I'll put it in, I'll print it. You know, like it'll be ready for you tomorrow when you come back to class. Like that's super cool. I really like that aspect of technology. Yeah. Like there's plenty of things in technology and in architecture, like all the 3D programming and all that. I'm like, I like, but I really want students to know how to build things for real, but I love the fact that we can do both, you know, that we could like build a real thing and then we can go in and we can do a design in the computer and then we can 3D print it and then we can take that 3D print and we can add it into something else and we can build for real, you know, like I love all that aspect of it, that back and forth. It's cool.
It is. Yeah. It's
so I want to talk about Maker Camp. I'm going to get into it, but before we do, I want to do a quick, I need a rating. I was going to get you to do a thumbs up of the Star Wars shows and what you think about them, thumbs up or thumbs down, but I feel like you're such a fan that you might give them all thumbs up, and I understand. But give me a grade, a normal letter grade, you know, A through F, of each one of these live-action Star Wars shows. All right. We're going to start out with the most well-known one, The Mandalorian.
Yeah, that A+. A+. Super sick. Yeah,
I agree. Except for now, season three had some issues with. I had some issues with season three, but overall, for sure, I'd give it an A.
Yeah.
The Book of Boba Fett.
A B? Man, the Boba Fett is like my favorite guy of all time, but I was not like some of the things in that show were just like kind of weird to me. So, yeah. But I still enjoyed it. Again, Boba Fett, he got to ride on a Rancor. So
right. That wild. Some of those the scenes that they had, and even the Mandalorian episodes were so good. They were almost better than the third season of Mandalorian. They should have just used those. Yeah, but anyway.
Right. Like the team up and Cobb Vanth was really cool and all that. So,
Obi-Wan Kenobi, or I guess it's just called Kenobi.
Kenobi.
Yeah, I guess probably a B.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It wasn't like, oh my god, this is awesome. But like, you know, you got to see Obi-Wan Kenobi, you got to see Darth Vader. Like,
yeah, yeah. No, I hear you. Cool. Okay, Andor.
I'll probably give that one a B. Also, I know everybody like raved about it, but like I enjoyed it again, but it wasn't like, oh my god, I gotta watch this again after it was done. Kind of a deal, you know.
Yeah. Dust, did you see Andor?
I did. Yeah, I watched Andor.
I did. I would definitely give it an A. That was, yeah. I think, after Mandalorian, that's my favorite. But yeah. I just thought I like the structure of it, where basically every three episodes it was a new part, like a new adventure, a new storyline. I think that's what Star Wars should be.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, you know, it was based off of little serials, like little fun little adventures, and to have multiple in one season, I really liked.
Yeah, I have not watched Kenobi, but I did watch all the rest of the ones you've said so far.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Ahsoka.
I'd probably give that one an A. I loved the Clone Wars cartoon series and Rebels. Right. And when they brought a lot of those characters from those shows into Ahsoka. Like, Ahsoka was like one of my favorite characters in Clone Wars. She was a super cool character, so... It's pretty cool to see her brought to life, and I think they did a pretty good job with it. Yeah, I was pumped.
Yeah, it was okay for me, but I also didn't watch the animated series, so I didn't have, like, I had a friend of mine who was telling me all about it, so I didn't have the background of, oh, this is this guy, and oh, that's that guy, so...
Right, right.
So there was a little bit of that. Okay, and the last one, the controversial one, The Acolyte.
Yeah, I don't know, man, it's probably like a C... there were some neat parts to it, but I don't know, man. It just seemed very, I don't know. I'm not like a movie critic kind of guy, but they just didn't like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It felt too, like they were trying to do something, and then like two episodes later, they switched what they were trying to do, and then two episodes later, they switched to something else, and it was like, what, you know, what's going on here?
Yeah, no, I agree. There's certain shows. Maybe the last season of Game of Thrones at the end, and what else? There's one I really had issues with, where it's like, oh, and the latest Star Wars movies, the three or the last two.
Yeah.
It's like, there was no one in the room, the story room or the writer's room, and said, hey, what about, like, hey, this doesn't make sense, this wouldn't happen, or why is this, like, total change. We had
the devil's advocate.
Yeah, there was no right. one like powerful enough to stop some people from just going like, oh, well, this is what we want to see. It's like, yeah, but that doesn't really work, does it? Like, you needed someone to be there and like keep these people in check, because it's like so simple. Like, oh, that ship could just take off, or this shouldn't have happened. There was no reason why this person's that angry. Like, you need to give motivation to characters, or the story doesn't work. That's what, like, so all the when people change out of nowhere, like you said, everyone's moving this way, and then someone moves this way for no reason. You're not going to hold people's attention. It's like, okay, nothing
takes you right out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you feel like you're being tricked, but not in like a fun way. It's like, it's a gotcha. Like, oh, you thought this is what was going to happen? No, not at all. It's like, well, no, it's just stupid. You're changing it for just to like trick people, which just is it's not fun.
Right. Just to say that you did it. Like, yeah, I did this. That was my, even if it sucked, it's like, yeah, that was my idea.
You probably thought I would make it sucky, but I did anyway.
All right, cool. Take that.
Well done. Yeah, it is pretty stupid. Not like Star Wars at all. Well done.
Yeah,
I didn't think you would do that.
Yeah. And those two, I mean, like, they had some good aspects, but yeah, for the most part, I did not enjoy those.
I'll say
as much as I thought I would.
Yeah, the one thing I didn't, I did finish Ahsoka. Maybe I didn't. No, not Ahsoka. I'm sorry. The Acolyte. Ahsoka was okay. The Acolyte was pretty bad, but the lightsaber fight scenes were pretty cool. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
Were shot well. Some pretty cool lightsaber battles.
Yeah, and they threw some weird stuff in there, like the whip. That was kind of
lightsaber
whip. Right. I was like, oh,
but the traditional stuff was pretty good.
It was, yeah.
All right, cool.
I haven't seen the Acolyte. I also haven't seen Ahsoka, but I really like the way you were like speechless, Noah, trying to justify your C. You were like, I'm not a film critic, but and it was almost like you were like, it just didn't feel right. You know, like that's kind of what like I felt like, you know, you were like, I could feel it coming from you that like, you know, it's like if you don't know how to put into words, you know, because there's often things where I'm like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right. You know, it's like, and that's a really primal reaction to something, right? And especially for you as like as a Star Wars buff, you know, you could be like, okay, well these characters are weird, blah 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 blah. You could go into that, but like. But I think, you know, and me as a fan of all sorts of stuff, if I'm watching something that I know and love and then I'm expecting it to be good, like I'll usually find good things about it. But then there's always something like it just didn't feel like it should be. You know, it's like there's something off. And yeah, that was good. It's fun.
It's kind of like, well, it's all the things that like people who know the certain like. They know what makes, like, oh, it's these type of things and this aesthetic and this and a little bit of jokey and you need this and that. Like, there's a bunch of things that you need in certain series to spark what people originally loved about what they saw when they were kids or what first got them into it.
Right.
Which I think they've gotten away from. It's like, I don't know, you could go to like a Christmas village or you could go somewhere that has the Christmas trees and the Santa and the stuff, but it's like in a strip mall and there's neon lighting and you're just like, yeah, you got the stuff that I like.
Right. Yeah.
But it just doesn't feel right. And then you start pointing out
delivery
everything.
Delivery is off.
There should be some pine trees. I want to go do this. I want to do that. And better, warmer lighting. Like, it's just...
yeah. I think kind of to, like, you know, people got to work on Star Wars that were new to it. Were like, man, like, I get to work on Star Wars. Like, I got to make something, like, completely mind-blowing. And they could have just kind of, like, went with what was already existing and still got, you know, praise, like, heaped on them for... You know, making a great story without trying to make it their own.
You
got to do a little bit of that, but I think they try to take it to the extreme.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I like Andor. They do a little bit of adding to the universe, but it's basically just, like I said before, it's just a couple good, interesting stories. Mm-hmm. And that's all it has to be. Give us a couple characters that we don't hate, that we kind of like, and are kind of charming. They got to have something there. And then just give them a few adventures to do it and give us the aesthetic we want. It's not that hard.
Right. Yeah.
What was the movie that came out? It was like before Solo. Like, was it during? Rogue One. Yeah.
That's what Andor is. That's Andor's the prequel to that, Dust.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Like, yeah. Yeah, I thought that, like, they did something, like, I think what you were kind of, explaining, like, you know, do, like, build into the world, add some of your own touch, but don't go too far. You know, like, there are things that you can do. You can build characters, and you can say some new things, but, like, you don't have to push it so far. The world is so sophisticated. The universe is so well thought out, and there's so much there that you can build on that you don't need to build a whole new foundation or give me something crazy.
Right.
Like you can, there's tons of foundation there to build on, and you like, and the fans will love it, and the new fans will also love it. You know, like
exactly. Yeah, you can still throw in like Rogue One, for example. They had it's Forrest Whitaker's character, and I can't think of his name, the character's name, but
right,
he was in the Clone Wars, like the animated series, and then right. they used him as like a live action character. So it was like, you know, you guys might not have realized that because you didn't see the Clone Wars, but yeah, you still right. probably enjoyed him as a character. Whereas I saw him and was like, holy crap, it's, you know, they brought him into the Clone Wars, like
right, exactly. Insane. Yeah, right. You have all that base. You've got all these characters that are out there that are already in the stories that you can like put in and add a little backstory. You know, you don't have to be crazy, but like there's you'll get that. The universe is there to work with. You know, you don't need to like make something crazy.
And there's like literally I don't know how many books, Noah, but what there's got to be like more than like 50. There's got to be like 100 Star Wars books.
Hundreds. Yeah.
So
before Disney took over,
right, there was just so much. And I mean, if someone had asked me or someone I knew to do, I'd go, all right, we know the stories. What are the top 10 books that people love? The Star Wars books that are biggest selling and everyone talks about and people know the lore from. All right, pick one of those and just do that.
And they did, so Grand Admiral Thrawn, he's like the main bad guy in Ahsoka.
Right.
That was, so the first trilogy of books that was written, that weren't based on the original movie. So it was like before the prequels came out, this guy wrote these three books, and it was about Luke Skywalker. It took place after Return of the Jedi. But anyway, the main bad guy is Grand Admiral Thrawn, and then they brought him into Star Wars Rebels, and then they brought him into the Ahsoka show. So it was cool that, like, you know, they kind of did a fan service to the books and then to the animated show, and then they brought him into live action. And one of those things where everybody can appreciate that, even somebody that doesn't know who he is from the books or the cartoon still probably thought he was a cool character.
And he fit into the world because he was already in the world, you know.
You don't have to rewrite you don't have to rewrite the story, it's already out there. But now that I got that off my chest, thank you, Noah.
You're welcome.
So we've Dustin's gone to 3. I went to 2. I missed the Noah's Ark last year. So that's all we know of it. And actually, Dusty, you went to the Timber Inn once, right?
Yeah.
But just for that day, you went up.
Yeah, that was the year when I went to Maker Camp in 2021, which is the first one I went to, which was because the 2019 was the first one, and then 2020 they didn't actually do it because of the pandemic. And so that was the July before. We had talked to Justin Dietrich, and I think that we had him on the podcast, and then I went because he was doing the timber framing, and then he was leading the timber in. So then I went for just the day, like it was a Saturday, the end of July. I went for just an afternoon because I was up in at Lake George, New York. So that was my first experience of the Blackthorn Resort, and like I had seen pictures. From the 2 years before, I had heard, you know, Jimmy talk about it on Making It podcast. And so I remember driving in for the first time and expecting something different, but I was really like pleasantly surprised with what I found. You know, I was like, and it's funny because now that I've been there a bunch of times, like it's like when you read a book and then there's a movie made and you like, you already have everything in your mind and then you go and it's different, you know? Yeah. So it's like before I had been there to the Blackthorn, I had this picture in my mind of what it was. And then I got there and it was completely different. Now I can't even remember what that original picture was because now I have the movie version, you know, live action us there doing stuff. But I do remember being like happy, like, oh, right on. Look at this cool place. Like, this is so weird. Like, what an awesome, you know, place. But that was my first experience was the Hammer Inn. But, Dan, what were you getting to with, times and experiences. And
you know, I was just wondering, like, because you did the Hamburin and the mm-hmm. Timberin. I don't know what other...
Just the Timberin, yeah.
What other inns you've gone to, but can you give us some some details on that and what it was like? Like, when Dustin first went, I think we had a podcast right after, and Dustin was like, yeah, I got there, and, like, we're talking to these guys. I was like, no, you gotta walk us through it. Like, what was it like? I was trying to, you know, I'm just trying to paint a picture in my brain to try to, you know, to add to what I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to say, yeah, 21 was the first Maker Camp. 21, that was the first time I'd ever been there.
Gotcha.
To the Blackthorn. So, and then, that was, like, I didn't know a soul. Like, I was like, but I didn't want to miss it. I was like, man, I gotta go. Like, just,
yeah.
To, yeah, I'll check it out. And I'm definitely glad that I did. But, So went to that, of course, met you guys and, man, everybody, Roy and Chris and, mm-hmm. you know, too many people to even name, like, you know, everybody that, so.
I know. I always do that. Devin always makes fun of me because I like to start trying to name people, and he's like, "Just stop! Naming. You're gonna leave people out. They're gonna feel like slighted, you know?"
Right. And I kind of feel, but that I mean, it was you guys and Roy and Chris. I remember we were hanging out like at you know late at night in the blacksmith tent talking about all kinds of stuff. So that's just what sticks in my mind the most, I guess, about that time. But and then I think so. Then I went to the hammer in that Chris put on the first one, where we made the fire pit. And, it was awesome, man. You know, I had no idea what to expect. Like I didn't really know, and I still don't know enough, but you know, about blacksmithing and it didn't matter.
Was that the crazy snow year?
Yes.
Where you got like, there was like the tent year. Around the pavilion, but it was like snowing outside like a blizzard.
It was like a blizzard. I mean, it's like the, you know, the pavilion has got the, you know, like the gable ends, you got your like soffit. Snow was like blowing up into the soffit and like coming into, you know, in the tent, like it was blowing underneath the tent part. The one guy there was a guy running the, I think his name's Adam. He was running the coal forge outside, you know, in the snow, like he's all bundled up, and he was quenching the pieces in the snow because the snow was so deep. You could just quench it right in the snow, and it was a blast, man. We had a great time.
That's crazy.
So yeah, that was cool. And then I went to the Timber Inn that summer. I think I went to the Hammer Inn though after that. So yeah,
right.
Hammer Inn, and then the what's the like the open forge? That's not the right word. What are the
right? Yeah. So I guess it's the group forge, which is the what Chris does,
group
and then
forge,
they do and then they do the hammer in as well, right?
The hammer Gotcha. Good call. So yeah, went to the group forge. Yeah, they went to the hammer in, and that was a blast too. I mean, because everybody was like, you know, Chris was there teaching everybody. There's a ton of people there, just you know, and everybody was you know. From like expert blacksmith down to like somebody like me who didn't know anything about blacksmithing, and it didn't matter. Like everybody was more than willing to jump in and help you and teach you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, super cool. Like not like a gatekeeping community at all. Everybody's just pumped that you're there and you know wants that you want to learn what they're into, kind of a deal. So
Chris, you know, talk about those events before. Devin and I talked,
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
We were really trying to get to the Hammer in this year, or to his group forge this year, but we unfortunately weren't able to make it. But hearing him talk about it with Roy on the Hammer Axe and Iron podcast, you know, Chris talks about how he explains it that same way too. Like, you know, after the event, he's like, it doesn't matter. You know, people who've never picked up a hammer before and people who do it all the time, like, everyone's pitching in. Everyone's got, like, a little bit of say in what's going on, whether you're hammering or you're holding steel or you're, you know, you're helping someone run the forge. It's like everyone just pitches in and does it, which is kind of the same way that I've always felt about, like, Maker Camp, but especially with the timber framing events that we've been part of over the years. That way. It's like everyone's just like, you turn around and you go to grab a tool and someone's handing you the tool that you're about to grab. You know, it's like everyone's in that maker mindset. If everyone understands, like, you know, they're kind of looking at what's happening and everyone's like, no one's sitting around waiting to be told what to do, or no one's like not pulling their weight. You know, it's like everyone's just there because we all love it. You know, it's like everyone's like, what can I do? How can I help? You know, watching, waiting to help and be a part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a good vibe for sure.
Nice.
Yeah. And,
so that was the Hammer In.
Hammer In, and then went to the Timber In that following July.
Nice.
That was the first Timber In I'd been to. And, you know, of course, that was, you know, kind of the same thing. Like,
was that the prep for the bridge? Is that one?
Yes.
Okay, that was gotcha. That one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was, you know, that was a blast.
Nice.
And then Maker Camp after that, and then I've been up to all the group forges.
Right.
Been to two of the Timber Inns.
Nice.
I think I only made it to that one Hammer In, and then I've been to, since 21, Maker Camp, so 21, 22, 23, and then 24 in a couple weeks. So,
So when you're at Alva, you stay on site. What about for meals? Do you go use mostly the food place, the cafeteria there?
Yeah, that's what. So the first year I went, I couldn't stay on site. I stayed in the Weldon House, which is like up the road a ways.
Yeah. Oh, I remember all like us commiserating miles about that late at night. You were like, I gotta go because I gotta catch the shuttle back. You know, we were like, oh man, that sucks. Sorry, brother.
Yeah, it was, I know. Man, I was bummed. but and then I was able to get a room on site for the following year. And now every year when I go to check out, they're like, you want to reserve your room for next year? I'm like, hell yeah.
Reserve it. You know, yes, I do.
last day of Maker Camp, like, reserve it. So,
nice. Yeah. Which house are you in? Or where are you on the property?
The Terra Hall, where the Maker space is.
Oh, gotcha.
It's like up on the hill.
Yeah. Yep. Nice. That's good. Yeah. We love the camp, the tent city.
That sounds cool. It does sound cool. I'm not gonna lie.
And I will say last year was particularly cool because, we had Adrian was there, and then we had like Sean and myself, and there was the guy from, I can't remember his name, but his Instagram is Gears and Fire. He and his wife were there, and then there were a few other people, and everyone, like, it became last, like, it's always been kind of a kind of fun community, you know, but it was more like a, yeah, we're part of Tent City. But last year we did a lot of meals and stuff together there. Like, we had a big long table and we had it covering. So we, like, you know,
I heard you guys talking about that on one of the
We did like breakfast the first morning, but then after that it was like, there was, we did like spaghetti one night, and it was like, you know, you know, pancakes and stuff in the morning. And so it was really cool. It became like this fun little like community over there. Not that, like, you know, I don't want people to think that it's like a community that is not welcome, you know, because it is super welcoming, you know, like if anyone's around and they want to come over and, like, you know, pitch in if you can. Like, this year I'm definitely bringing stuff to help pitch in for meals, and Sean, same thing too. We're like, we want to bring some meals, and I've been talking to the guy from Gears and Fire and Adrian a little bit, like, we're trying to start a group chat of everyone, like, hey, what are we going to do? It's all like pitching together.
We should get on that now.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty close.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it became that much more. And I know Adrian was talking about reaching out to Austin about trying to get like a bigger tent back there that is more of like a community, you know, like a good, you know, like a pavilion type tent that we could put tables and stuff under for the people who are staying back there. But yeah, it's a cool little spot. And, you know, you can't get any closer. You know, like, that's the one nice thing. I mean, that's the nice thing about all the buildings at Maker Camp. They're all right there. You know, it's like you walk out your door and you're there. It's not like you're down, you know, you're not like 100 yards away, or you got to drive around, you know, the campground or whatever. It's all, it's
right. Yeah. You're, you know, 100 yards is probably like your farthest.
Right. Exactly.
Walk. Yeah. It is nice.
That's what the next Timber Inn should be, doing a pavilion for that tent area.
Oh, building.
Stick it right in the middle, and you could put, you know, four tables or something in there.
I did hear Austin talking on Working Ads podcast about doing some type of lean-to thing. I think that's where I heard it. I can't remember. But that would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Well, if, depending on how far the O's go, I might have to work. I did say I would take off that Saturday if we have the O's game, but I'll work the Thursday.
Right.
So I won't be able to go up early. So Dusty, you gotta save me one little wedge of land somewhere. I heard you said it was like packed last year. So
it was, it was packed. Well, we got there. Sean and I got there Thursday night late at like 12 o'clock, and so it wasn't even Friday yet, and it was already like, you know, we were able to get the spots that we've got before, Dev, like those spots against the fence, the wooden fence.
Yeah.
But it was still already, there were tons of cars there, and there were tons of tents set up. And I was like, man, this is crazy. It's like everyone's coming early. Yeah.
We're talking up too much. We're going to keep it quiet.
Yeah, right.
I know. Tent City's no good. It's, but actually, last year, like, we had, I took my just a Coleman, you know, 10-foot by 10-foot dome tent, like basic dome tent, but it had the crowning piece of it was, it has what's called its tarp tub, so the bottom of it, you know, one foot on the sides and the whole bottom. I think they all have a tarp, like a waterproof tarp. Yeah. That was key, because like Sean was in a kind of a backhacking tent right next to me, and he was in a puddle, and I was in a puddle too. But like, I didn't get any water in my tent. Like, I did have a few drips coming from above in the middle of the night, but it's just me on a queen size bed, so I just kind of scooched over. But but I was pretty dry there. And and where I was last year for the, where I was set up for bow making, I was up on the tennis courts. And so, although there was like lots of dripping all over and there was tons of water everywhere, but I was in a little bit of a dry hole, which is pretty sweet. So this year, we did get the schedule for Maker Camp came out earlier this week. So everyone knows I'm in the Sabretooth tent this year. So I'll be down there with like Tracy from Bastion Head and the Isotunes guys, and who else is down there? I forget. I was looking at it.
That's more like enclosed, isn't it?
Yeah. Like... Yeah, it was a little closed last year, but it was definitely like in puddles last year. Like everybody was in puddles. Like everyone who was on the main field, it was just a puddle.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I was a little happy. I was definitely happy to be up on the course last year, but we'll say cross our fingers, knock on wood, that it's not as rainy as it was last year.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, me and Shane Mooney, we were in Camp Arrowhead for boys doing the flint napping, and we're sitting there in the chairs and. We're watching the water, like our boots, like, I mean, our boots were underwater, like our toes were covered, like sitting there flint napping, man. We're like, we're still gonna do it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Not leaving.
Yeah. I will say that was like everyone was still out doing stuff. Like, of course, like, you know, the conversation was about, oh, this is shitty, you know, but like no one went anywhere. Everyone was still hanging out. You know, there's tents everywhere. Like everyone was walking in water, but we were still hanging out, blacksmithing, woodworking, you know, flint napping, no matter what. People were out there.
Everybody was great, still getting it in. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
My new goal this year is to help out with the shooting with the bow stuff. And we're going to, you got to come by Noah because everyone's going to get to shoot, but then we're going to keep a scoreboard. So we're going to
I heard you guys talking about that on the podcast. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
We're going to do a little Top Gear style where we put your score up there and, you know, we'll put you where you stand on the board and then get everyone. And then, you know, maybe on Saturday on the last shoot or something will be like the shoot off for the top. How many people?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Another thing, Dust, I think would be great if we had like... I don't know. I was thinking like paper invites. Like I wish we would have talked to someone who does like the printing earlier. Like if you could have a small printing thing, like here you come to the bow shoot off, like, you know, or that type of thing where you can just hand it to people just for fun.
That'd be cool.
Like, hey, Saturday we're having a competition, or come by and try, give us your best like five shots or whatever, and see if you can like score. But
I wonder if that's something we could have prepped and ready for maybe like Sunday, you know, like have it that like so people can shoot Friday night and Saturday night, and then we have it ready so that way we can write like maybe there's a space on there like this is a leaderboard so far, you know, like come to the thing like right now, you know, like Noah is in third place with 28 points and, you know, and like
Trying to knock him out of third place.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Sean from, you know, from Shaper is in second place with this many points, and, you know, Chris Cash is in first place with this many points, you know, whatever. Like, it'd be kind of fun to put him in, you know, like, come and see if you can score better than these people.
Right.
I could put something together like that.
But for one, the only thing, if we finalize, see, that's a thing, right? Either... You do it like that, but maybe do it on Saturday night. But I know Sunday you give more time for people to shoot, but I feel like people head out Sunday. Like you're going to lose like half the people.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I usually feel like half the people empty out.
No, I don't think so, because Sunday night is the culmination. That's like used to be the fire, now it's the fireworks.
Yeah.
Like I think most people stay through Sunday. What do you think, Noah? You think people stay through Sunday night?
Yeah, I'm trying to think last year. Yeah, it seemed like there were still quite a bit of people watching the fireworks.
Yeah, I guess if people do leave, it's on like Sunday morning. You're right, Dev. So like, they come Friday night, they stay all day Saturday, they spend Saturday night, and then they do leave. There is like a group. Like I think if people are leaving, it's probably Sunday. They might not last through Sunday night. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just feel like, you know, if it's like we shoot one, because I'm doing like an hour and a half or 2 hours in the evening for the bow shoot. So, you know, if people come for that and then it's like a shoot off on Saturday, they only have Friday night to shoot. So I don't know.
How many shooting spots do you have on Friday, Saturday? You have two on Friday?
No, just one, just in the evening. So I'm doing two bow making demos throughout the day, and then in the evening is like an hour and a half or so of free shoot time.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's only that one time frame. I mean, unless like you want to go over and like the shipping container's there, so we could have more free time. I just don't necessarily want to do it during the day because I'm already doing two demos.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Yeah. I found out that I talked to Austin originally about the difference between, he was like, what do you want to do this year? And I was like, well, I want to do, I'd rather do a 2 hour session once a day rather than 2 1-hour sessions throughout the day. Now, yeah. like the 2 1-hour sessions are nice because then people can come, you know, like, and maybe yeah. they missed the first one, but they get the second one. But for me as like a bow maker, it takes a lot of time. So I'd right. rather do like a longer 2 hour session and be able to kind of work through a whole process. And like, you know, that way I'm in it, you know, I'm working through it. I can kind of keep going. And then, so I don't know if there was like some lost in translation or whatnot, or if he just kind of, Austin just put it together the way he thought worked best with the schedule, which is perfectly fine. But I'm actually doing 2 demos on Friday, and then I'm doing 2 demos on Saturday, but no demos on Sunday, which
okay.
I think that's, for me, that's great, because that gives me a yeah. whole day that I can just do maker camp, you know, right. It's like, just that's what I want, yourself. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Cause I love, you know, I love maker camp for the fact that I can go around and do shit, you know, like, but I'm happy to do demos. It's super fun. I love doing it. I love seeing people, and I love being in that, like in that role as a teacher. I love to like tell, you know, teach the thing that I love to do. So, but you know, I was like, oh, well actually that works out perfectly, cause then it gives me a day, but you know, but I will do. Yeah, on the schedules, there aren't any bow shoot things on the schedule, so I think that's more of a, like, I don't know, I'll talk to Austin a little bit more about it, just make see how we want to advertise it.
But, yeah, that might be the yeah. only time to do the shootout, if that's how the schedule is.
You got sweet spot before, like, everybody starts cracking too many beers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, last year, I think I did it from, like, 5:30 to, like, 7 or so. You know, so it was, like, it was a little slower because there was a lot of the times when it's at the end of the day where everyone's going in and they're, like, they're having dinner and stuff.
Right.
Which was okay. You know, like, I was happy to do it in that time frame. Right. You know, because then it wasn't, like, super long lines of people waiting to shoot, which is fine, too, you know, if you want to come out and shoot. Like, but yeah, so that's kind of the plan, is to have that like evening shoot before it like gets too late, you know, but like, yeah, yeah. after kind of right at the end of the main scheduled events during the day, so people can come out and check it out if they want.
Right.
But I think, like you said, Dev, giving them something like an invite, you know, like having a little more advertised, like come on out, shoot, you know, get your score posted. Let's see, you know, let's do a big competition. I think that'll bring more people over, which is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe by Saturday night you'll have the leaderboards, they'll be done, so you'll have 2 shootouts and the top yeah. whatever 3 guys or 5 or 10 guys, they win an award Saturday night. But then right. Sunday morning, maybe the top 3 guys, you'll be like, hey, Sunday morning we're gonna head over, or whatever, Sunday afternoon right. and we're gonna do like the top guy, maybe you know,
top.
But like you do it. Need you do need to make some like leather medallions. That will be more advertising for it than anything.
Yeah.
Right. Like, oh, what are you wearing? Like, oh, the little.
Yeah, come win a little like yeah. AOC yeah. archery, you know, shoot off. You know, yeah. if you hit a bullseye, you get a thing, or if you come shoot, you get a thing. You know.
Yeah, I feel like almost we should, whoever shoots, we should just
yeah, hook them right. up. Yeah, maybe you get like a. Yeah, like I said, there's been a few different things. Like, it could be a keychain, you know, or it could be a leather shooting tab, or even just, like, a little necklace. Like, you get the Renaissance Festival and you hit the bell on the hammer thing, you know, right. with the star on it. Yeah. So, yeah, come and yeah. shoot, get That'd this thing, cool. and then yeah. and then if you do, if you hit something, you know, if you get a high score or whatever, right, then you get your name up on the board, but you also get, like, I don't know, a sticker pack or something, or you yeah. get, you know, something, I don't know, yeah.
A koozie.
Yeah, koozie. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, yeah, I got the koozies, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Yeah, I know, man. There's so much stuff. Like, so much stuff I want to do and so little time. But, you know,
right.
it's after this week. I mean, Devin and I are shooting for the Apocalypse Knife Challenge coming up. So, like,
yeah.
we've got that going on. And I have next weekend is Renaissance Festival. So, we're, like, got to finish our costumes and stuff for that. Which is
oh, nice. Work. Man, I saw they sold out. Like, no more tickets. Like,
I yeah, know. Yeah, we're actually like, going damn. Up to we're going to the Pennsylvania Renaissance Festival.
Oh, cool! Okay, cool.
I've never been there before, so this will be the first time. Either.
Yeah,
I was looking to go on the 6th down in the Maryland one, and it just yeah it was sold out like that day. I was like, God, no! So I'll probably it'll be up in PA too.
Yeah.
But so is there anything specifically you're looking forward to this year for Maker Camp?
Yeah, just honestly, it's just seeing everybody, I think, is the most fun part about it anymore. Yeah. I didn't get to do a lot of stuff. Like, man, everything was so busy last year, like leather work and stuff. Like, I wanted to do Dennis's like leather tooling. But man, it was packed. Like, even got there like half hour early one day, and there was no seats. I was like, damn. I definitely want to come shoot the bow. So
nice.
Gotta do that. Yeah. What's the draw weight on that bad boy?
Well, I'll have several bows. I have for kids, I have my daughter's bow, which is about like a 20-pound draw. And then I have I had my wife's bow last year, which was 35. It's like 35 leaning toward 40, but it's got a little crack in the back of the bow, which we fixed, but I don't want to risk it, you know, if she's not right. there. So then I have a 50-pound hickory bow, and then a 65-pound Osage, and okay. then I have my 100-pound draw bow from the hundredth video on YouTube. So those will all be there. And I'm thinking I want to go to like Dick's or something and get like maybe a couple or something, like get a medium one or something that's, you know, fiberglass or something, just so I can have a couple more there. Like, I need something that mid-weight. I need something like in the 30-pound range. Devin, do you have those bows that Dad used to have in the shop? Are they still there?
I think I do. Yeah. I got those.
Yeah. I think those are like 35 or 40, right? So they're like a good middle range for, kind of an average, like it's got some weight to it. You could hunt with it, but it's not so heavy. Like, you know, even my 65-pound Osage, which like I'm used to, but it's a heavy draw, you know, but I think that's kind of fun too. You know, you're only shooting three or four or five, you know, shots. It's not like you're going out shooting 100 shots. So like, you know, most, you know, a full grown man can easily shoot a 65-pound draw bow. You know, you might not want to draw it back, you know, 50 times, but it's heavy, but
it definitely feels heavy.
Yeah, for sure. I love it.
Yeah, you have to test that theory on me that can pull a 65-pound draw.
Right, I know. Like, I made that one, and you know, that's the one I use the most often, so I'm the most familiar with it. But it definitely, it's got some weight to it. And then, you know, when you try to draw back the 100-pound, man, it's like, wow, it hits hard. It feels like it's a ton of power there, which is just fun. Yeah,
like throw your whole body into it to draw it.
Yeah, right. I had another bow. I had a hickory bow that we actually made on the video last year. It was not the best bow. It the stave wasn't great when I started with it, and one of the guys that actually hung out with me pretty much like off and on throughout the whole weekend last year when I was doing bow making, he was shooting it one night and it broke while he was drawing it back. It was like snapped on him, and I was like, don't. He felt really bad, but I was like, you know, I'm glad you're not hurt, don't worry about it. You know, that bow had some things in it, you know, that were not great, so but I was like, shoot. But that was my one that was kind of like the 45-pound draw, so I was like, well, okay, I'm like out that
range,
so,
right?
Yeah, well, that's going to happen. You're putting up your bows, you know, they're going to get...
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's what they say, specifically about, like, self-bows and things. Really, they're designed to, you know, we're not... Like, with a self-bow, which is all one piece of wood, you know, like, you make the bow to fit you, and then you shoot it all the time, and really, like, you shouldn't really let a ton of other people shoot your bow, because their draw length is going to be different, the way they pull it's going to be different, you know, and that there's a you know, like
a memory.
Memory in the bow that it likes to stay in that same memory. And it, you know, if you overstress it, then you're risking breaking it. So, which I understand. I'm fine. I'm happy to take the risk to let other people shoot it. That's fine. I can always make another bow, but you know, I'm more worried. Like if someone draws it back too far or something, and then it breaks on them, you know, like I'm like, ooh, you know, so I try to give a little bit of guidance in the beginning, like draw to here, you know, you need to pull it back to your ear. You can pull it back to your mouth, you know, and you know, don't pull it straight back, 'cause then you're going to punch yourself in the face when you let go of the string. And, you know, I just give a little bit of direction and then just let people shoot. And it's fun, but it's really fun seeing people shoot the 100-pound bow. 'Cause they go to draw it back and they're like, whoa, and they stop and then they try again. They're like, holy cow. Wow, this thing is nuts. Which it is. It's crazy.
I can imagine, man. You ever heard of, there's a guy's Garnish and Gains is his, I think he's Instagrammer.
No.
Maybe. Anyway, he does. He's done like 120 pound draw.
Oh,
and
wow.
He'll like shoot like armor. It's really cool, man. Like I'll have to.
That's cool.
I'll send you his page or whatever. I can't think of what it's. Garnish and Gains on Instagram and
Garnish and Gains
TikTok.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, no, that's cool. I love bow makers. You know, like that's actually one of my recommendations tonight. It's going to be a bow maker, which I'll let us all know.
Nice.
I want to rename our 100th video, our 100 pound vote video.
Okay.
Because you do see, I mean, that's like one of our biggest videos we've done. We had the big shootout at the end.
Right, yeah.
Like, I made all those soldiers. You have made this great 100-pound bow. We broke the first bow in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. On camera, which is, like, awesome.
Yeah, I remember that video, yeah.
We just need to, like, relabel that, because it hasn't been seen as by many people, but I love that video. But, yeah, the 100-pound...
war bow, yeah.
Yeah, the war bow. I'm surprised you let people shoot it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I'm actually really confident. I'm much more confident about people shooting that bow than
that's true because they can't they can't pull it back or something.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah, and also because it's backed with the rawhide backing that adds so much more strength to the back of the bow. You know, it's like yeah. I mean, it's just like unless you shot a really really heavy bows before and you kind of understand and you like. Most people drawing that bow and letting it go, they're only going to draw it like, two-thirds of the way, maybe the potential of what it could be drawn back. You know, like I've drawn it all the way back to my full draw length, which is about 30 inches. Mm-hmm. But usually, even when I shoot, I usually don't pull it that back that far. You know, it's like I'll just pull it like two-thirds of the way and let it go just because it's so heavy, you know. It's like, and it's still going to fly and it's still going to hit with so much power. So,
yeah, we need another time to see its max range with heavier arrows.
Right.
That is one thing. When we were shooting out in that field, we were like, it's going to go way past. And I was like, I don't know. And Dustin was like, it's going to be on the other side of the river or like into the woods. And I wasn't sure, but then I was like, maybe. Yeah, it might go to the moon. Like, it might go over that mountain, like Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, right.
Think I could throw it over that mountain? That's what I was thinking. And then it just kind of went a little bit farther than the rest of them.
Right, yeah.
Like, at a full, you know, angle, full, like, medieval archer's angle.
Right.
But it needs more to push. It needs, like, a bigger caliber.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we had quite a few comments on that video that were like, you need to be shooting a heavier arrow off that bow and it'll go a lot further.
What's the...
Because you're like creating momentum. Yeah.
What's the Uruk-hai in the first Lord of the Rings? No, the first one. Remember he had those giant arrows?
Oh, yeah.
Kills Boromir.
Yeah. That's what you need, one of those Uruk-hai arrows that are half an inch
like
to an inch.
Like a bolt thrower bolt coming out of his
bow. Exactly, yeah, exactly, right. Yeah. Right. Well, because, I mean, it makes total sense. When someone said that, I was like, oh, of course, that makes sense. You know, it's like if you try to throw a pebble, it's only going to go far. It doesn't matter how strong you are.
Right. It's like,
but if you take a baseball and you have a strong guy throwing a baseball, you know, it's going to go a lot further because that weight, you can really push it a lot more.
Yeah. It's you throw a wiffle ball at a normal wooden bat or, you know, baseball. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Devin, do you by any chance have any this or that's for Noah?
I can give him the list of this or that. We can do that real quick.
I like it. So Noah, last when we had Jimmy on, we started what we want to kind of do with more with our guests is do a little this or that. So we'll give you two things, and you tell us one thing. You know, one of the two that you prefer, and you can kind of justify it a little bit, or you can just leave it how it is. That's fine too.
Right.
Oh man, I should have added some Star Wars ones for.
I know. I was trying to write down some stuff, and I was like, I couldn't think of anything that was like, you know, controversially two even things. I was, you know, one of the things I was like, light side or dark side. You know, who would you be if you had to choose? Like,
you know, yeah, no, that's good. I almost forgot. That's cool. All right, Noah, you're our second this or that or either or. We don't know what to call the segment, but I'm going to give you some just right off the bat. You give me off the top of your head, and like Dustin said, you can add reasons why, or we can talk about it later. All right, here we go.
All
right. Lord of the Rings or Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Nice.
Tough decision, but Star Wars.
Workbench Con or Maker Camp?
Maker Camp.
Yeah. Black Walnut or Cherry?
Black Walnut.
Home Depot or Lowe's?
Man. So I worked at Lowe's for 7 years, and I used to love it, and now it sucks. Like, you go in there and it's terrible. Mm. But Home Depot's not any better, I don't think. So I guess I'll go with Lowe's just because for the loyalty of, you know, I worked here for so long.
What do you mean it sucks? What's different about it?
I don't want to say I'm like, Nick Offerman in Parks and Rec, where he's like, I know right. more than you. But
yeah,
like,
can I help you with anything?
Right. But I do know where a lot of stuff is because I worked there for so long and everything's still pretty much the same. But like, if I do need to find something, like, the employees just run away from you. Like, you can't find a soul, at least in the Lowe's that I go to anyway. And it drives me nuts, man, because when I worked there, it was like, that was it. Like, you took care of the customer. That was like your most important job. Like, no matter what department you were. So,
it just drives me crazy. Will say that, I mean, I'm a Home Depot guy just because that's what we grew up with. And in the end, it's, you know, whatever is available, because there's always a Home Depot and Lowe's near everybody. You know, it's like a Walmart or McDonald's.
Yep.
But yeah, I noticed that too, man. It's just Home Depot's closest, so I'll go there. And then most of the people I ask, I usually go for the old dudes because they usually know.
Yep.
But, you know, if anyone with a vest or whatever, and I'm like, I can't find whatever it is. And I'm like, hey, man, do you know where this is? And 90% of the time they're like, I think it's, I'm like, never mind. Like, that's it. You've already failed. Like, I think it's somewhere too. Like, I don't need your. I think it's maybe that way somewhere. Have you tried plumbing? Like, I know. I'm looking for toilet stuff. Like, I've tried plumbing.
Right, exactly. There are giant signs around the store that tell me.
I've read
the
signs too.
Things,
like, if you don't know right off the bat, you're not going to help me.
Or they'll look up real quick. They'll use the app, the Home Depot app. Hold on, let me see. Oh, it's aisle 7, bay 4, you know, which, you know, it's fine. Like, it makes sense. And we could do that too, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Netflix or YouTube?
YouTube.
Nice.
Bagel or biscuit?
Biscuit.
Blonde or brunette?
Brunette.
Table saw or track saw?
I've never really used really either one of them. I just did buy a table saw, so I guess I have to go table saw.
Yeah. There you go, boom. 4K or 1080?
Honestly, I don't know if I would even know the difference without them being right next to each other. So let's go 4K, just because it's the newer, cooler thing.
Bacon or sausage?
Man, that's another tough one. I got to go bacon, though. It's can't go wrong bacon.
Yeah. Milwaukee or DeWalt?
I bought a DeWalt table saw, so let's go DeWalt.
Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
Dang, definitive.
Dang, ever since I was a little kid, man, that's all I've ever drank. And
that's a strong stance.
Suicidal Tennessee song, though.
Oh,
what's a Pepsi?
Nice, yeah.
Crowbar or pry bar?
I don't really ever use either one of them. Let's go crowbar because that sounds cooler, I think. Yeah.
Faceted or round?
Faceted. I do like that texture. That's cool.
Yeah, right on.
That is it. This or that. Nice. Either or. Awesome. Well done.
All right.
Nice. You're the second. Jimmy's also a brunette guy.
I love blondes, but I'm married to a brunette, so I can't say that necessarily.
I love blondes, and I'm married to a blonde, so.
I should. There you go, man. I'm like, can I add redhead to it?
I also love brunettes. Yeah, right.
Is there a redhead in there?
Call in a friend.
Call in an ex-girlfriend.
Nice.
All right, sweet. We got some disaster story or recommendations. What are we working with?
Yeah, let's. Yeah, so you know, like all of our guests, we love to ask our guests about their disaster stories. So something that they've done or made, or something you've, you know, over the years you've tried something and either just failed completely or failed enough that it, you know, it's one of those things that we don't see that often on YouTube or on Instagram or social media. People don't really show their mistakes. You're usually just seeing the polished final edit of what they make, but we all make mistakes and we all have disasters, quote unquote disasters. So do you have something to tell us about for your disaster story?
I said I probably don't make enough stuff to have a terrible disaster story, but I certainly have failed at lots of things. So I'll try, like, probably blacksmithing, you know, because I had messed around here at my shop, and I went to one of Chris's open houses, and I got a like a farrier's brush, you know, to brush the scale off of a piece, and but it's just a wooden block, and I was like, oh, I can make a handle, and you know, that way I'm not just grabbing onto the wood block, I'll have a handle to hold on to. And I was trying to make like a spade shape that would attach to the wood, and then almost like a kitchen cabinet pull, but bigger and beefier. And I broke it every time I would try to. I probably just doing it in the total wrong sequence, but like I tried it like three times, and every time I guess I got the spade where it would like turn into the handle part where they met.
Right.
I guess I got it too thin. I don't know what I was doing, but every time I would hit it and it would break, and I'm like, God damn it! Like, man. Every time. So I guess that's my best one, man. That's kind of lame, but nice. Yeah. And I still never made a handle for it. So still handleless.
No, that's great. I also have a ton of trouble with that, right? Because it's that leaf shape. That like beginner blacksmiths are supposed to do, you know, you practice it. So you do the taper on the tip, you know, so you make a point and then you come back and use the other side of the anvil, and then you taper the back, and then you're supposed to draw it out to make that spade shape or that like leaf shape. And I have that same problem, man. It's like that joint, that connection between the leaf shape and the handle part. I do the same thing. I get it like too thin or something. Maybe it's somebody told me that I was working too cold, like working on it too long, you know,
right,
when it's cold, and then that joint gets weak. So like the thin part where, you know, transition between that spade or the leaf shape into the handle part, it gets weak. Yeah, I have not been successful with a keychain, you know, like a leaf keychain or something like that. Like I always end up breaking them.
Right. I could see that happen. Yeah. Cause like I would do the same thing. Like I'd, you know, start losing heat and I'd be like, oh man, I can hit it a few more times. And I probably could not have hit it a few more times, but I did anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't work out.
The brush didn't originally have a handle. You just wanted to put one on.
What's that?
The brush you had, it didn't originally have a handle. Like, it didn't break off originally. It was just you thought you'd like to use it better with that.
Yeah, right. It's just like a flat block of wood, maybe like a, I don't know, a 1x.
Yeah.
And like then with the bristles on the bottom.
Yeah, right.
It's like, I was thinking when you were talking about that, like you adding on to this thing that was like a finished tool, but like some reason, I had the scene from. Have you ever seen Contact?
Foster. With Jodie Foster, yeah, it's been a while, but
great, yeah, great sci-fi. I saw it I saw pieces of the other, like last month or something. It's so good, but anyway, I saw Contact, and there's this scene, right? They learn to make the alien spaceship, and they decide to put a chair in it, right? Or to bolt the chair down.
Yeah, right.
I forget which one. And they're like, it can't just be like that. And then, but they try to make adjustments to it, and it just falls apart every time. So that's kind of what I thought of. Like,
And then they put the chair in, and then when they get the machine started, and the chair is like, it's everything's vibrating, going crazy when they got the big giant machine spinning. Right. And then the bolts come loose, and then the chair is like floating in the middle, and everything's perfect. Like, there's no more vibration.
Right.
You know, it's like when they tried to add something to it.
Yeah.
I did the same thing though. No, when I. Because I got, you know, I got a blacksmith brush as well, and it's same thing, right? It's like a 2-inch by 5-inch by 1-inch block of wood with a bunch of metal, you know, bristles on one side and no handle. So I, you know, my, you know, I made it out of wood because I was like, you know, I cut that out of the bandsaw and put some holes in it and screw it on. But I have another one. Like I have two of them in my smithy, and one, only one of them has a handle. So
yeah. All right. So recommendations.
Yeah. So how you doing, Noah? Can you hear us? Yes. No. Anymore?
No. He's having Noah's having some technical difficulties. So we'll do some recommendations. Either he can sign back in, or what do you think, Dust?
Yeah, you could try that. Yeah. So Noah, if you can hear us, okay, just go ahead and sign out and sign back in. And while we're waiting for Noah to jump back on, then we will we'll do our recommendations.
I'll do. I can do mine right now if you want.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
So I think maybe mentioned this on the podcast before, but I also brought it out to you, Dust. It's called, the channel is, Epic History. So it's just a good narrator, and he explains like battles and things like that. And they've like paintings and animation of what happened. And it's just really well done. They go in depth. But they just started doing ship battles, which I was trying to get Dustin to watch. But it's really well done. So it'll be like this guy's battles down near the Nile and this. And all these great tall ship battles and Napoleonic battles. I love that stuff. So
yeah.
there's a couple called Nelson's Battles. One's called Nelson's Battles the Nile. One's called Nelson's Battle Cape St. Vincent. But really interesting stuff, and I'm just constantly fascinated about these just like roving groups of ships that miss each other and find each other and like are hunting each other. Love that stuff. So they go into all that, like how close Napoleon was caught many times trying to cross into Egypt and back and forth, and just really great long form videos.
All right, we had slight technical difficulties, but I think we had this worked out. Fortunately, it's the very end of the podcast, it's no big deal. We'll get it working. But Noah, why don't you go ahead and give us your recommendation for this week?
All right, so I'm gonna cheat and do two recommendations. One is probably something right up your guys' alley right now with like going to the Renfest and stuff. But found a guy on Instagram, I guess it was. It's and I'm not even quite sure how to pronounce it, but I think it's Enrique _Pujol_art. So it's Enrique_Pujol_art.
All right.
And he makes like some really awesome like leather armor. And I think the post that I just saw from him, it was a metal, like a steel helm, but with like a leather like back. It's pretty sick, man. Like he makes some really awesome looking stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Nice. Sweet.
Yeah, and then my second one is I think I was talking about a little bit earlier, the guy that I watch on YouTube a ton that does these dioramas and stuff. It's Boilai Hobby Time is his YouTube channel. I think he's on Instagram. I think it's Boilai Hobbies, and it's Boilei Hobbies.
Gotcha.
He just makes some really cool stuff. He actually, he created like his kind of like own world. He calls it the Wild Imaginary West. And it's kind of like this like steampunk vibe in the old West where there's like all these crazy monsters and these like steam powered mechs. And he like scratch builds these things and out of all these different kits. And he actually just started a Kickstarter, and he's turning this Wild Imaginary West into like a tabletop game.
Nice.
And you know, the Kickstarter launched and it was backed in like 20 minutes. Like he had so many backers. So
That's awesome. Nice.
But anyway, like the stuff that he made, I mean, it's pretty cool, man. It's just neat to watch. So those are my recommendations.
That's sweet. What was it? Okay. So yeah, Boilai Hobbies and then Enrique Pujol Art. Okay. Yeah. Nice. Sweet. Yeah. We talked about that, but like all the stuff that, you know, any of like, cosplay stuff, you know, or like fantasy stuff, like it's so much fun, you know. It's great. Yeah. I love it. Sweet. All right. So my recommendation for this week is November South. He's on Instagram, so it's November_South. He's a musician and has a band, makes awesome music, but he also is a bow maker and a leather worker. And so his Instagram, he uses his own music as the music behind his reels, and he'll like introduce new songs and stuff. But then he's also always just making super cool stuff. He's like cool. Loves Osage Orange and makes amazing bows and stuff. So,
oh, nice. Yeah, I'll have to definitely check that one out.
Yeah. He's super cool. And his music's great. It's very much like what's his name, the guy who does Tennessee Whiskey. It's kind of that feel to it.
Chris Stapleton.
Yeah, so it's a little country, but a little bit kind of like rock pop popular, right. Like not necessarily like pop country, but more like kind of fits into like a broader spectrum of stuff. So
cool. Yeah. I like stuff like that.
Right on. So Noah, where can people find your stuff on Instagram or on social media?
Really just on Instagram, Smiling Wolf Workshop. I need to post more. I really don't post that much. So, I need to remedy that and start posting more things. So
yeah, right on. You got some cool posts. I love, like I said, I love seeing your posts, 'cause you're always like, you're like on the fun. I would say like you're leaning more to the fun side of making. So like whenever you post something you're making, it's always like some cool thing that has to go with like a prop or also like your shop, which we didn't get to talk about much, but like you've got your shop and stuff that you're building too, which is pretty sweet. So
yeah. Still working on it, trying to get electric running here. So that's pretty much the last thing I have to do. So
nice. Heck yeah. Awesome.
Try to post some of that, progress and stuff. So
sweet. All right. Well, so thanks everybody for listening. We're going to wrap it up here. Make sure you don't forget to head over to YouTube, check out our stuff at The Art of Craftsmanship on YouTube. That's where we try to send everybody. That's where we want to make the good content and put it out there for people. So check us out there. Let us know what you think, put the thumbs up, leave us comments. All of that interaction, leads to more views and more people and, more support, which we love because, we love putting stuff out there. And then you can follow Devin on Instagram at the art of camera guy, and you can follow me at The Art of Craftsmanship. And, we try to put a little bit more behind the scenes stuff up there and just a little bit more about our lives. And then for people who want to support the channel further and support what we do, you can go to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and you can support us there as well. For those people who do go above and beyond and support us over there, we really, really appreciate it. And just people who are listening and interacting, I mean, all that makes a difference at all. Everything we make and everything that we, all the interactions all go back into trying to make the channel better and the podcast better and have one fun guests like Noah and Jimmy and all these people that we love. So that's what we want to do.
So
thanks guys so much for listening. Devin, it's always a pleasure, man. Noah, really, 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 man, we appreciate you coming out and chatting with us and
talking. I appreciate you guys having me on. That's awesome. Yeah,
absolutely, man.
Good time. Yeah, can't wait to see you guys make camp.
Yeah. Heck yeah, brother. Yeah, we're super excited, and we'll see everybody at Maker Camp. Make sure you show up, say hi, let us know that you listen to the podcast, and tell Noah you heard him, and you can talk about all sorts of fun stuff. And we'll see you all there.
Sweet. Let's go O's.
Yeah, man. Ooh. Let's go O's. All right, everybody. Thank you guys all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.